I got a call from my daughter, Grace, recently. She was really excited. She wanted to tell me something wonderful had just happened. You see, she applied to be in the audience for one of her favorite shows. You know where it is? Probably one of yours. Dancing with the Stars. Yeah. How many of you guys watch that? Oh, come on. There's more of you watching that. Well, she tells me, well, I got approved. And it's going to be in a couple of days. And she was just so excited. And she got there early. Hours and hours early so that she could get a good seat, you know? Well, when they let her in, they guided each individual in and gave them seats. And to her surprise, she sat right in the front row, right behind the judges. She could touch the judge. She was just so, like, hysterical about it. You know, after the dancer performed the intricate routine, they had to face the judges to be evaluated. You know, that's sort of a kind of nerve-wracking time, wondering what they would say, what the final judgment will be. And I'm sure we all been there one time or another, these so-called scary moments. Our palms are kind of sweaty, and our hearts are pumping, beating fast, and our minds just can't think straight. We're just sort of waiting for that judgment, that final verdict. Am I going to be approved or not? Am I accepted or not? Did I pass or did I fail? Or we might be waiting for the results of the final exam. Or we might be waiting for the college acceptance letter. Or we might be waiting kind of nervously, where are we going to get that pink slip or not? It's nerve-wracking. We have to meet the judge. The Bible says that we will all meet the ultimate judge, the Almighty God. That was what Hebrews 9:27 says. Just as a man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. Oh, not many of us like to talk about death. God promised, however, that death will come upon each one of us. And after death will follow judgment. Notice what James had to say about this. James 4:13-14 says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanish. Many of us believe and sometimes deceive ourselves thinking that we are in control of everything. But in reality, many things are out of our control. And specifically, we know that there will be a time where we will have to face death, which will be followed by judgment. You see, our life here on earth is really brief. James says it's just like a mist, like a vapor that is here and then will be gone in comparison to eternity. You see, our home is not here. We're just passing through. And those that trust in Christ, our home is in heaven. As you know, I've gone to Africa a couple of times to minister. And the places that I minister to in the villages, very poor places, where there is no electricity, no running water. Very, very primitive place to minister to. And yes, I'm there with the rest of the team in the villages, talking to people during the day. But you know, I must admit, we as Americans, we get it kind of easy. The mission board realized that we can't handle living out in those villages with no running water, no electricity, so they put us up on a hotel. So we go to the village, minister during the day, and then during the evening we go to a hotel. Well, the best hotel that they could find. No comparison to the one here, but it's much better than living in the village. It's difficult conditions. And I could tolerate that to a certain degree because I know that after 2 weeks, I'm going home. Houston. It might be difficult, but I can hang in there, do God's work, but I'm going home shortly. And we need to see life from a more eternal perspective. And we see that our home is not here. Home, be with the Lord. We are born to die. And every day that passes, we get older and our body deteriorates. Our time on earth is limited in comparison to eternity. And we are not in charge as to when that time will come. God is the one that knows the timing. And sometime it might be much earlier than we expect. And many fear death because we're not sure what is going to happen. But yet there are some that are confident, that are sure, and they know for certain what will happen to them. And they are no longer afraid of death. And I remember my dad going to his doctor for his regular checkup. And his doctor told him, he says, your health is much better than mine. And that was a little puzzle because the doctor is half his age. How could he say that? And he went ahead and asked, what do you mean by that? And the doctor says, I have a heart problem. Actually, I'm going to have surgery next month. But whatever happens to me, I know for certain that I'll go to heaven. And the question I have for you today, are you certain you go to heaven? If something were to happen to you today, are you ready to meet the judge? Different people are misled with wrong views of death I'd like to share a couple of those views of death with you and see what Scripture has to say about it. First is universalism. Universalism believes that eventually all men will arrive safely to heaven. See, since Christ died for all people without exceptions, it follows, they claim, they say that all will eventually be saved. Is that true? Well, let's look at what Scripture has to say. Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15, 14 to 16. So since the children have flesh and blood, he, referring to Jesus, too sure in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angel he helps, but Abraham's descendants. You see, if one accepts universalism, if that is true, that means everyone, including Satan himself, should be redeemed. But we see very clear here in this passage, neither the devil nor angels were helped by Jesus, but that he came to set free all of us from the penalty of sin, and also to set us free from the fear of death, that we no longer need to fear death, because he has taken away the penalty of death. Let's look at another view of death, and that's annihilation. What is that? Now, those who believe in annihilation claims that the believers will receive eternal life, but the unbelievers will receive eternal death. They will be judged and condemned by annihilation. They will be condemned to extinction, which is their second death. In other words, yes, they've done some wrong things, but yet they don't need to go through any suffering, pain, and torment. They will just be extinguished. And they base that belief or that view from Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, which says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body and cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and body in hell." See, if we take a little closer look at this verse and analyze it, this word destroy, it's never used to mean annihilate. Oh yes, our body will decay and will die, but yet there is life after death. There is a place of punishment in hell, and there is a place of security in heaven. The Bible makes it very clear that there is life for everyone after death, and that there will not be annihilation. Look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. It says, "Multitude who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt." After a life here, we will not only live, we see here that we will be conscious of what is going on. We will feel shame with some of us. There's a feeling and understanding of contempt. Basically, man will live eternal life. But where we will spend eternity is another question. No, again, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, it says, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The unsaved will experience eternal punishment, it says. At the same time as those that are saved will experience eternal life. We'll live forever. It's the good news. But where we spend eternity is another question. After death comes judgment, as we read earlier. Again, Hebrews 9:26 says, just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. And we will be held accountable for rebellion against God. And the question before us again is, are we ready to meet the judge? There is judgment. There is judgment both to those that have not believed as well as those that have believed. Many do not want to face death, nor judgment. Again, it's destined, it says. The scripture is destined. It's going to happen. You see, many people find it difficult to reconcile hell with his punishment and the love of God. How could that coincide? How could a loving God condemn people? Is God unfair? No, God is a just and holy God. He not only knows every wrong acts that we have performed, but even much more so, he understands what's going on in our hearts, the motives that drives us to do what we do, those evil attitudes that we might have. He gives us what we deserve. Notice again in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. It says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin could be anything that's short of God's standard. And that could be simply bad thoughts. You know, within an hour, you know, we could have 10 easy bad thoughts. And within a lifetime, we add it all up. We could commit millions of violations against God. And if we were to stand before God, we stand guilty. And you know, if we were to go before any judge and if we have violated against the law millions of times, we don't stand a chance. We stand guilty to be condemned forever. But God says the wages of sin is death. Death is separation from God. If God was really fair with us, he would have sent us to hell a long time ago and not allow us to continue our way of life. But you know, sometimes we just tend to ignore this truth. But ignoring this truth, this fact, will not make death and judgment go away. The fact is that there is a hell for those who rebel against God and chooses not to accept the salvation that God has given to us. Well, what is hell like? Some people joke around and say, hey, you know, all my buddies going to be at hell. We're going to have a blast. We're going to have a great time. I don't think so. Just like to point out just a couple of things about hell. You know, one of the most or common word that is used for hell is Gehenna. Gehenna is a valley outside Jerusalem. Sort of, it was the so-called garbage dump, where they threw out all the garbage, and then they burned the garbage there. And it sort of is a continuous dumping ground, a burning of fire, and it also states that that's where it just attracts worms, and worms grows everywhere. And you could probably imagine why Christ referred to hell as a place where worms does not die and the fire is not quenched. We see this in Mark chapter 9, verse 47, 48. Worms does not die and the fire is not quenched. Can you imagine being in a place like that? It's hard for us to even imagine. Let me give you a couple other descriptions. First, hell is a place of torment. Notice in Revelation 20:10, it talks about the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and the false prophet has been thrown. And for those, you know, who do not believe, will go to the same place. It says, they will be tormented day and night. Forever and ever. Now this torment, we're not exactly sure what that looks like. It could refer to some physical torment. It could refer to emotional torment. It could be both physical and emotional torment. I could remember the most painful experience that I went through is when I had kidney stone. Anybody have had kidney stones? Nobody have had kidney stone? And it was very, very excruciating pain. Like someone stabbed me in the back and just shaking in pain. Just a little taste of what torment might possibly be. Thank goodness that pain came and then it went, but it came back again, but it didn't last very long. Or have you ever had emotional torment? Where maybe we've done something wrong and we sort of just beat ourselves down. We get depressed. We get anxious. We just get overwhelmed by what we have done. We feel guilty. We feel shame. We might not be able to sleep. Our mind's constantly running. Can you imagine? Torment. Another description here from this verse, it says that hell is a place of eternity. No one would there be torment. It'd be forever. You know, it's hard for us to understand what forever is. You know? Some of us might be in our 20s or 30s or 40s or maybe 60, but, you know. I mean, it's hard for us to even think about 100 years. Let's just say 1,000 year. Or 1,000,000 year. That's at this place that there will be torment. Day and night. Forever and ever. So you might have been a little frightened from hearing all of this. And God has some good news for all of us. You see, He has provided a way for us out of hell by offering us a free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, it is because of God's grace that we're here. because of God's grace that we could breathe another breath. Note, in 2 Peter 3:9, it says the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God wants everyone to be saved. He's giving us time and opportunity so that we can make these decisions to respond to his salvation. There's nothing that we can do to be saved. All that God requires is that we put our faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for us. He died on the cross to pay that penalty of death which we deserve because of our sin. He died so that we do not need to die. And all that we need to do is to put our personal faith in him, and then we will be saved. We accept the payment that he has made for us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, makes this very clear. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It is a gift. It is free. It might be free to us as recipient, but there was a tremendous cost, tremendous price. Cost the life of Christ. But yet he gives us this gift, which we really do not deserve. That's what grace is all about. If we only place our trust in Jesus, we can be saved. We will then be written in the book of life. We become God's children. And we become a special guest into his kingdom. There's no other way to heaven but through Jesus. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. As you probably heard a couple of days ago in the White House, you know what happened? There was this couple. There was a big party that President Obama gave. And this couple somehow got through security. Although they were not on the guest list, they somehow got in. Somehow. And only that, they went and shook hands with President Obama and took pictures with all the dignitaries and so forth. Let me say it, I could assure you, when we get to heaven, no one could sneak in unless they are special guests and we're on the list in the book of life. Only those who place their faith in Jesus are written into the book of life. Notice in Revelation 20, verse 12, it talks about this book of life. It says, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead was judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the book. You know, if you have never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, I extend an invitation for you today. Trust him. For there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way out of condemnation in hell. And that's through Jesus Christ. You know, not only will the unbelievers be judged, but then the believers will also be judged. And since we already written the book of life, We enter into the kingdom of God. But we will be judged on the basis of works done for the Lord since our conversion. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." God will hold us accountable for all that we do. You see, God has created us that we are to honor him. Again, we need to see our life from a more eternal perspective. Life is not about me. Life is about God. And God will judge us based upon what we do here on earth. And it says in Scripture that our works will be tested by fire. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 to 15. "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stone, wood, hay, and straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his rewards. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flame." God says, he'll take a look at all that we do, and it will be tested by fire. In other words, just because we've done something good does not necessarily mean it's acceptable to the judge. Because there is times we might do something maybe with the wrong attitude for personal gains, to look good before others. God said, you know, those things will be burned up. But only those works that are precious will survive and will be purified as they go through works. God not only is interested in what we do, but why we do what we do. He will look at our hearts. He will look at our motive in what we do. The Lord says, we will receive rewards. In other passages, talks about crowns. And we're going to be surprised. Who will receive much rewards and who we think might receive a lot but not receive a lot? Because as it goes through the fire, all those works will be burned up. Notice, this is what will happen when we get to heaven. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 and 4, gives us a glimpse. It says, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." You know, when we get to heaven, we don't need to deal with pain, mourning, death. See, because the victory is won already, because Jesus has risen from the dead, we can meet our ultimate judge, Jesus Christ, with confidence. We will rise. And God calls our name. Because we are written in the book of life. For those that place their personal faith in Christ, we have that confidence. No more sorrow. No more pain. We will all live eternally. Where would we spend our eternity? Are you ready to meet the judge? Again, if you have never trusted Christ, I extend an invitation for you today. And all that we need to do is to receive His gift of eternal life and ask Him to guide our life. We no longer need to be fearful of death because God has taken this thing away. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your grace. We know that You are a just God, and yet You also are a loving, gracious God, that You provide salvation for us. And Lord, teach us to see life from an eternal perspective. But we're just passing through this world. And Lord, may we pursue to do all that we can to honor You. We can do something about what will happen to us in the future as we invest in eternal things today. And Lord, for those that never trust You, Lord, we pray they would place their trust in You. In Christ's name.
Thank you for the message of hope.